Anchors can be helpful. One summer afternoon, I was with some friends in a buddy's boat off the fairly a long way off the North Carolina coast, and both of the twin 200 Mercuries died on us. So we pitched out the anchor and synced it up and waited for the Coast Guard. But anchors can also be unhelpful. Thinking about back to high school, some of us remember the book, Huck Finn and Jim, the runaway slave, hop on a raft hoping to float away to freedom and new life. And they do. But if there had been an anchor on that thing and they couldn't have gotten it up, they'd just still be sitting there. I think of a staff member that I had working my church in North Carolina decades ago who was stuck in life because she was anchored to constant negativity. I mean, she was really good at it. Her glass was not half empty. It was bone dry. All she could see was the negative. She wanted to be happy as the next person, but she believed the way to happiness was to remove all the negatives instead of being grateful for the good things that she already had. So, got to get the car fixed and get the house tidied up, perfect repair, her kids making better grades, her political party in office, a better boss at church. And then she was going to be happy. So her formula for happiness was to focus on the negatives until they go away, then she'd be happy. And then she'd be grateful for being happy. The actual formula, as science has shown, is just the opposite. You begin by focusing on the positive and being grateful for what is. And then happiness arises out of your gratitude. One woman wrote in her blog about a study, two psychologists, Michael McCullough of Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Robert Emmons of the University of California at Davis, did a study on gratitude and its impact on our well-being. The study split several hundred people into three different groups, and all of the participants were asked to keep a daily diary. The first group kept a diary of the events that happened during the day, both good and bad. The second group was told to record their unpleasant experiences. And the third group was instructed to daily list the things for which they were grateful. The results of the study indicated that daily gratitude exercises resulted in higher reported levels of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, optimism, and I like this one, energy. In addition, those in the gratitude group experienced less depression, less stress. They were more likely to help others, exercised more regularly, and made greater progress toward achieving their personal goals. So, if this were a self-help lecture, you'd have your formula to take home, and I would encourage you to go practice. Be grateful, and your happiness will follow. But there is more, right? And there is a catch. I am of the generation that was taught, yes, keeping a journal is good. I've got a whole shelf full of journaling. But what you were told to do, you know, really focus on what you're feeling, especially those bad feelings and those bad things that happen. You know, drill down into that stuff. Get into the existential stuff. Really, get down deep in it. And I got a whole shelf full of that stuff. And we find out, of course, when we keep track of our problems that way, that the rope keeping us attached to our negativity is really, really thick. And the knife we have to cut it with is dull. So we usually give up and just add hopelessness to our list of things not going right in our life. So think about, if you will, the people of Galilee in the first century. They are certainly anchored to negativity. By any measure, their lives are filled with personal, social, economic, and political problems we can't even fathom. Yet, they get out of bed in the morning and flock to hear Jesus because the word of God that he speaks and the word of God that he is that's powerful enough to cut the thickest rope. The poor find themselves coming alive with the hope of God's kingdom. The downtrodden are released from their victim story, and they have a new story of life and hope. Those mourning for the dead find a vision of resurrection stirring in their hearts. Where did that come from? And those peacemakers find that God is on the move and that He is for them. He is on their side. So it's good to know that the practice of gratitude produces happiness. But it's also important, more important, to know the one who sets us free from the negativity when we become stuck. Because when we know this, we finally know who to be grateful to. I remember reading somewhere, I'm sorry I can't give you the exact reference, of a confirmed atheist. He was in the hospital at the birth of his first child, and he said he was absolutely, and we can all relate to this, absolutely overwhelmed with gratitude as he held his child. His problem was he did not know who to be grateful to beyond the doctors and nurses. He knew his gratitude was bigger than just the people in the room. He was confused because he realized he wanted to thank a God he didn't think he believed in. We know that it finally cost Jesus his life to sever the cords of sin and death that grab all of us. And on the day of resurrection, that night, we remember the story of the two walking away from Jerusalem in despair on their way to Emmaus, just overwhelmed, thinking Jesus was going to be the one to set Israel free. And they murdered him. But then they are utterly transformed by an encounter with the risen Jesus. They run back the 7 miles to Jerusalem to bear witness to their transformation. "We've seen the Lord," they said. They are flooded with this vision of the abundance of God's kingdom. Their hearts explode with gratitude, even though nothing on the ground in their lives has changed. Rome is still in power. Relationships are still hard. Sickness still comes. And one day they too will die. None of that has changed. What has changed is their vision of the abundance of God. And Paul prays that we might experience that vision. He writes to the church in Ephesus, folks like us, probably not near this many. And he says, "I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." It's even true to say, as I read recently, just shocked me to remind myself of this, that God the Father loves you every bit as much as God the Father loves the Son, Jesus. Nothing has changed. Yet everything changes when we get a vision of that. So let's do a little experiment. Let's look at the gospel reading for today, just a little portion of it. But let's read it through the lens of negativity. Negativity. So you got the rich man. Well, right off, he didn't earn it. He stole it from his workers. He didn't pay him enough. And he's probably born into it. Daddy gave it to him, so he's never worked a day in his life. He's only putting money into the temple to buy off the authority so they won't come regulate his business. And through the eyes of negativity, that poor widow, she's lost and hopeless. She's soon just going to curl up in a corner and die. She's given away her last penny. Life is unfair, and she's right to see herself as hard done by. Yep, that's the way life is. It's terrible. But notice, Jesus says none of those things. You have to read them into them. He does not say one negative thing here about that rich man. He says something good, in fact. He says he gave out of his worldview of abundance, and he gave a large sum. He was generous. And the widow is not a helpless victim, but she's also living out of this worldview of abundance, not the abundance of money, but the abundance of the faithfulness of God. Out of that abundance flows profound gratitude for God and neighbor, and she wants to be able to give to others, just like the rich. Through the lens of abundance, we see both people are working the formula for happiness. They really are. That vision of abundance makes them profoundly grateful. And that grateful produces happiness, in which they know it is more blessed, which means more happy-making, to give than to receive. So Jesus invites us, as you know, which is why you are here week after week, to welcome us into the abundance of God's kingdom, where we live in gratitude for all of God's gifts and share them with the world. Another movie, someone reminded me of this the other day, the 2011 hit, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Any of you see that? Fun movie. In it, Sonny, he's the young, irrepressible, effervescent Indian owner of the hotel. And his hotel is filled with retired Brits who have a world of problems. And he keeps telling them, everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, then it's not yet the end. Now, this could be seen as an empty platitude, of course. But through the cross and resurrection of Christ, this is kingdom of God thinking. Thinking that trust in the abundance of the Father, in the faithfulness of the Son, in the presence of the Spirit, so that we're free now to get on that raft and go with the flow of the river on the great adventure into the world, pouring out our lives for others. Amen.